Red Rocks Amphitheater is without a doubt one of the most famous venues in Colorado, maybe the world. I'll go that far. And yet I'm willing to bet that most people couldn't tell you the first thing about its history. Not so for our next guest. Dr. Leanna D'Angelo is the author of Maestro Satriano, a novel based on the life of Pietro Satriano, the esteemed conductor who led the very first performance at Red Rocks back in 1906. D'Angelo is a descendant of Satriano, and in her book, she seeks to resurrect the memory of this important but mostly forgotten figure from Colorado music history. She joined our very own Vicki Gregor for an interview.
Leanna, Maestro Satriano is what family member to you? Is a great-great-uncle?
Correct. He would have been my great-great-uncle.
Your great-great-uncle. And what's so cool about this wonderful musician, this talented man, is he's the first musician to play at Red Rocks. What I'd like to ask you is to talk to us about Pietro Satriano and give us an idea of how this all started.
Pietro was considered to be a child prodigy, and he studied at music conservatories all over Europe. And according to his obituary, he performed in America for the first time, actually, when he was only 11 years old. And Pietro was the cultural icon of Denver in the early 1900s. And in order to research the book, I researched very extensively and found at least 50 articles, if not more, that were about him in the papers, in the Denver Post, Denver Times. There was something called the Denver Republican. Pietro was nationally known, and one of the old newspaper articles actually said that he was declared the best bandmaster in the country.
Wow. Leanna, I wanted to ask you to fill in the blanks a little bit, expound a little bit on the kind of music that Pietro was doing, was making. What was that music?
Well, he was mostly a classical trained musician, of course, and so most of his concerts were classical. But after a while, he started doing classical performances and including ragtime, and then people didn't like that. So according to the papers, he then would do two concerts a week, one classical and one ragtime sort of concert. His signature song was Holy City, and he would usually do a solo performance on the cornet. If I haven't said so yet, he was a cornet virtuoso, and so was his father, Antonio. And one of the interesting quotes was, "When Satriano holds the cornet to his lips, it is a thing of beauty."
Pietro, even though he was this amazing composer, prodigy, and musician, he loved his ragtime, right? He had something about his performance. I mean, he was kind of rock and roll before there was rock and roll at Red Rocks, because I've noted a few times people commenting on his unusual body movements, that he was very acrobatic in the way he led his musicians. And that's very rock and roll.
Yes. It was a bit common, though, at the time. All the bandmasters, there was a lot of competition among bandmasters. They were just trying to get people's attention. They were all vying to be the people's favorite. But yes, according to the papers, Pietro Satriano would sometimes leap in the air while he was conducting. So it made it interesting. One of the articles says something like, "The Denver band leader attains such acrobatic feats, one worries he may fall over."
How did he end up finding himself at the Rocks? How did that happen?
The real story is that John Brisbane Walker purchased the land. He was a businessman, and that he asked my great-great-uncle, Pietro Satriano, and his 25-piece band to perform there. And that is the usual story, the usual history. I can't help but think that musicians might have known about it up there. After all, the Indians were up there doing ceremonies and probably just living regular life, and I bet they knew about the great acoustics, though I really can't help but wonder if it wasn't the musicians who went to the business people about turning it into an outdoor amphitheater. The first performance there, by the way, was on May 31st, 1906. It was at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and I don't know about you, but when I think of May 31st at 3 p.m. in Colorado, you know what I think of.
The rain.
Yeah. I imagine they were all very worried that it would be rained out. But on the other hand, I guess they had to wait, give people a chance to get up there. There was a special train that day, and it cost 25 cents to get up there, but some people may have come by carriage.
This first performance at Red Rocks, I know there's no playbill. You know, certainly nobody was videotaping or, you know, getting their cameras out. Do we know much about what that looked like, what the components of it were, how long it lasted, that kind of thing?
The Colorado History Center sent me photos of the stage. It was kind of just a makeshift stage. It was just a wooden crate, and there was nothing else there. So I assumed that people were sitting on blankets or some sort of chairs or something. But no, nothing is known. People have theorized about which songs he probably performed, and it was believed to have all been classical that night. And he almost certainly performed the Holy City.
I have to ask you, with this background in history, when you or your family members go to see shows at Red Rocks, what's that experience like for you? I mean, it's sort of like yours in a way.
I think of it that way. I don't think anybody else does, though. I have only been to Red Rocks one time, and frankly, I was a little bit disappointed, but only because of the large video screens that are up there mm-hmm. on the stage, and I felt like it took away from the immediacy of the performance, and I liked it on the rare occasion that they turned off the video screen, they dimmed the lights, and all there was the performance. Given that Pietro is no longer alive, and given that I can speak for him, I think he would not like it. I think he would be disappointed on what it's turned into.
So this was kind of shocking to me. So with everything that's happened, you know, the first performance at Red Rocks, the influence that he and his music and, you know, his family had in the area, I was kind of shocked to see that he has not been inducted into the Red Rocks Hall of Fame or the Colorado Hall of Fame. How does one correct that? I mean, this is definitely somebody who had a big influence on something that we all get to enjoy now and something we take for granted now, our arts and music scene in this part of Colorado.
Red Rocks is owned by the city of Denver, and it's very difficult to get through there, but I have expressed my disappointment that he has not been inducted. I think Colorado has a tendency to not honor its past as well as many states or cities do. You know, they've inducted people like the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, but they have not inducted Pietro Satriano, even though any time you hear about Red Rocks, anytime it's in the media, they say, and the first musician to perform there was Pietro Satriano on May 31st, 1906. So part of the reason I wrote the book was to bring people's attention to him and what a major contribution he made and how unfortunate it is that he has been overlooked. And also I wrote the book because when you do hear about him in the media, that's all you hear. Pietro Satriano and his 25-piece band were the first musicians to perform there, and they never say anything else. So hopefully my book gives people something else to talk about. It kind of fills in the blanks about who he was.
Leanna D'Angelo, thank you so much for spending time telling this story of Maestro Satriano. Really appreciate you sharing this.
Thank you.
That was Vicki Gregor speaking with Leanna D'Angelo. D'Angelo is the author of Maestro Satriano, a novel based on the life of Pietro Satriano, who led the first performance at Red Rocks in 1906. For more information on the book and details about upcoming book signings, head to krcc.org. You're listening to Aircheck from 91.5 KRCC.